Hello there, and welcome to this episode of Force Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week, alongside guest Dennis Keithley from Podcast Stardust, we discuss the fourth episode from Ahsoka titled Fallen Jedi. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter and Hive at Force Ghost Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok just by searching Force Ghost Conversations. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening site of choice. Plus, Force Ghost Conversations is live on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there will be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Finally, please be sure to check out our Tee Public store to buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. All right, everybody, welcome back to Force Ghost Conversations, and I'm so excited for you to listen to our special episode with guest Dennis Keithley from Podcast Stardust. Yes, one of the podcasts that I have admired for quite some time now. Got to meet Dennis at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. We went to the 20th anniversary Clone Wars panel, or Attack of the Clones panel together. It was a great time, so really thrilled to have him on the show to talk this really great setup episode for Ahsoka, episode 4, Fallen Jedi. So, of course, on the other side of this little segment here, we will have that full discussion for you then. And before we get into that, though, we do have some news to cover in this week's Cloud City Gossip segment, and let's get right into that. So first, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny has now released on physical media this past week. So if you are a collector of physical media, much like myself, be sure to add this item to your collection. You don't want to have that one outlier out there that's missing, folks. You want to have the full collection, whether it be 4K, DVD, Blu-ray. Go out and support this great movie. I mean, it also, I don't know if the digital version has this, but there is the score-only version of the movie, too, which just features John Williams' epic score. It's just a wonderful, wonderful way to celebrate John Williams and this incredible film. So be sure to go out and get your copy today. Second, Disneyland has announced a Season of the Force event. Taking place from April 5th through June 2nd, 2024, the program will feature Space Mountain turning into a Star Wars-themed hyperspace mountain. I've ridden that before, and trust me, it's really great. There will also be specialty food and beverage items. And finally, new adventures for Star Tours. They teased this a little bit at Star Wars Celebration in London, and now they're finally starting to unveil some of those new stories and adventures that you'll be able to experience in Star Tours in Disneyland. Now, no word yet on when that those will be coming to Disney World, which I'm eagerly on the lookout for, but we'll hopefully get them soon. So be sure to get your tickets now for Disneyland, because I imagine that this festival will be quite popular. Finally, a new book was announced titled Star Wars: The Glass Abyss. It will be written by Stephen Barnes and will take place between the events of The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. The story will comprise of Mace Windu finishing the last mission of his fallen friend Qui-Gon Jinn. The book is slated for release on August 6, 2024, and more information can be found on StarWars.com. So that is all the Star Wars, Lucasfilm, Galaxy, of all this fun adventure news that I was able to compile for this week. On the other side of this very short break, we'll be back with our discussion about Ahsoka Episode 4, The Fallen Jedi, featuring Dennis Keithley, Podcast Stardust. We'll be right back, folks. All right, everyone, welcome back to Force Ghost Conversations, and we are continuing our Ahsoka discussions here. And I'm so thrilled to welcome to the podcast, first-time guest on the show, co-host of Podcast Stardust, Dennis Keithley. Dennis, welcome to Force Ghost Conversations. How are you doing?
I am doing great, Anthony, so much. Thank you so much for having me here. I've been looking forward to this all day. It gave me a perfect excuse to dive back into Ahsoka and binge the first four episodes, and so I'm really excited to talk about this.
Absolutely, and it's my pleasure to have you on the show. And this is the true gift of doing these episodes later than when they were released. So like, that's really where my first question is for you here. Now that the series is out in its entirety, I mean, like, I want to first start with asking, like, what were your original thoughts? Because we talked off air. I don't actually know what your full thoughts are about the series at this point. And then how has that opinion changed now that some time has passed?
So when the first the series first came out, I watched it on a weekly basis, like most of us did, and enjoyed it quite a bit. I thought it got better and better with each episode, kind of peaked around episode 5. And then, I mean, how do you follow that up with, you know, Anakin's return? And then kind of tapered off a little bit that, and then had a really strong finish in episode 7. As the episodes were coming out, I was watching them multiple times each week, really diving into them and seeing what details I could absorb and figuring out how that related to everything else, enjoying all the various cameos and everything else that we got. And I was thrilled. I was absolutely thrilled with that series when it concluded. Since then, I've watched the entire thing one more time. So I've seen all these episodes 4 or 5 times, depending on which one it is. And I think it's fantastic. And it is a series that, you know, we're not talking about the conclusion of this, but I was, you know, when it ended, I was like, I have so many questions. And I wasn't sure that I was happy with the way it did. But then, upon reflection, I'm like, there's so many opportunities, and it puts us back in a position that we can speculate and guess and get into so much other Star Wars content that it relates to. And I just think it's a fantastic avenue for Star Wars discussion. So if you listen to my podcast, you'll know that we rank this very high in our top 10 of Star Wars stories for the year 2023, which we just put out. And yeah, I was really, really thrilled with it. And I think Dave Filoni did a fantastic job with it.
I'm going to second what, and yes, and what you just said there. Like, I think that this series is phenomenal personally, but I will admit that when some of the episodes came out, I struggled with them. Either it maybe being a victim of the week to week release, perhaps, or just like, you know, I needed a few watches myself in order to get to let the things sink in, right? Seeing full spoiler alert for anybody at home, right? I mean, we're releasing these months after the series is released, so if you haven't seen it to this point, I don't know what I can do for you at this point. But you know, like seeing like Anakin, and then just not just so much being wowed by Anakin, but thinking about the why the series is called Ahsoka. How does seeing him impact her character arc? How does the Rebels characters being involved in the series move her arc further, right? This is not, I personally get a little upset and mad when I hear people say like this is just Rebels season 5, and I'm like, no, if they would have wanted to do Rebels season 5, they would have done Rebels season 5. This is Ahsoka. They just happen to have Rebels characters to help push her story forward. So you know, I think I am, if I had gotten on the microphone a bit more when and talking about Ahsoka and Star Wars when these were coming out, I may not have had the same tune that I'm having now talking about it, where I'm super gung-ho and positive about it. But I think that's the benefit of doing this type of discussion later on. It's like, we've let it sit, we've let it marinate, we've you know, I've seen interviews now with Dave Filoni where he's explaining a lot of the stuff that went on with this series and some of the thought processes behind it. Heck, he's even gotten a promotion now at Lucasfilm because of, I assume, a lot of the work that he's done on this series and beyond with this work. So, you know, it's just, I'm very happy to hear that, you know, it's only gotten much, much more positive in your viewpoint. And it already started off at a very positive point too, but it's only getting more. And I'm glad that because of this, you were able to go back and rewatch some of the episodes in preparation for this. So then, we've talked a little bit about Filoni at this point, and that's where the next segue, I mean, it's a perfect segue into my next question for you here. And this is about the episode title. And in true Filoni fashion, the episode is titled Fallen Jedi, and it can be interpreted in a variety of different ways. So I pose the question to you, Dennis, what do you think it means, Fallen Jedi?
That is such a big question, Anthony, because I think you're right. It can be interpreted several different ways, and I think it should be interpreted several different ways in this one. Of course, we've got Ahsoka, and we all know what her story was, that she left the Jedi Order. However, I'm not sure she is, in the strictest sense, what you'd call a quote-unquote fallen Jedi, as much as she is a former Jedi. Mm. But you could say, perhaps, is that she is fallen from the path. You kind of have to resist that or be careful with that, because that kind of suggests someone who has gone to the dark side or something like that. Right. Of course, yeah. There's Baylan Skull, who was a former Jedi. He's very much a fallen Jedi in this case. And I kind of like to think of it as falling off the path and the doubts. And so much of this series, and I think it gets highlighted here, are Ahsoka and Baylan. It's the two of them contemplating what is the legacy of the Jedi.
Mm.
And so in that sense, I think the word fallen is very important.
Yeah, that's really excellent what you say there. Like, I love that, you know, with the way your thought process goes with this, is that it's the two sides of the coin, which is Baylan and Ahsoka, right? These are kind of like the protagonist and antagonist of the series too. And, you know, it's like, is Jedi single or plural in this case, right? I think my brain goes immediately back to those 2017 conversations. The Last Jedi, what do they mean by it? Is it Luke? Is it multiple Jedi? Are there several Jedi out there? Who are the Last Jedi? Who is the Last Jedi? And right. And even beyond that, maybe you could even say, like, Shin Hati being an apprentice to a fallen Jedi, is she also a fallen Jedi at this point? Sabine turned away from Jedi training, is she technically a fallen Jedi? Anakin appears at the end, and he might even be the most fallen of all the Jedi. It's Filoni doing his most, like, I can just see him already, like, in an interview just being like, yeah, I don't know about that one. Just like, you know, maybe just like twirling his thumb, just being like, yeah, I did throw that in there, didn't I? I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm just going to make you ask questions about yourself and question everything about the episode and reinterpret it and watch it several times in order to figure out who. I think you're right on it, that it is the two sides of the coin here, because I find it so interesting in this series that it's like Ahsoka, in my opinion, at this point especially, is so unsure of herself and her purpose and where she's going. She's almost like a stagnant character, in my opinion. She doesn't really have like a journey or a goal or anything like that. I think she has like some semblance of a goal of what she's doing. Like, she thinks, like, I have to do this because that's what you do, not because that's what I want to do. Versus Baylan Skull is like the most sure person on the planet. Like, even though he's not telling you his plan, he's like, yes, I am confident. This is what we must do. We must help them out here. This is the right path for us, right? So, you know, and they're both different aspects of why they fell from the Jedi Order. And they're still haunted by that in some ways. Like, Baylan is constantly talking about, it's a shame that you didn't get to see the Jedi Order as it once were, but it had to dissolve, right? And then Ahsoka's like, I walked away because of how they treated me and disrespected me and harmed me. And, you know, I had to walk away from that. So it's just Filoni being Filoni. It is truly, truly, truly most Filoni-esque. I think as soon as the episode title came out, my wife and I looked at each other and were like, yep, that's a Filoni title. I really appreciated your thoughts on that one. That's a good way to view the title, this one, as well as, you know, we could probably do a whole episode discussion on every single episode title of this series and the multiple meanings of it all. But I want to dive into a bit more of the nitty-gritty of this episode. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, the alternate title for this could have been, like, What's Eating Ahsoka Tano? And, you know, we don't really get what the question is, what the theme of this series is, until the next episode. But we get, like, all the hints in this one, which, you know, Baylan says to Ahsoka, you know, your legacy is death and destruction, and it didn't have to come to this, but you just don't know any other way. And then it's, you know, when we get Anakin shows up, he's teasing the fact that we're actually going to get the question, what the series is really about, in the next episode. But everything is leading up to this, and we just don't know until we get beyond this episode exactly what the series is really about and why it is that Ahsoka is just so distant and off for four episodes.
Yeah. 100% right. 100% right. Like, this is the ultimate setup episode for the climax of answers that you kind of get in the next one, which are also shrouded by a litany of Filoniisms and questions along the way in order to make you think about what the actual meaning is. But we'll get to that in next week's discussion, folks. And within this episode, there's a ton of different action and frankly, this is probably the most meat of the episode is about the big lightsaber battles that happen in here. But before all that, Hu Yang has some sage and almost prophetic advice for Ahsoka and Sabine, which is stay together. Why, in your opinion, do they almost immediately not heed his warning? I mean, it's fairly clear, if you ask me, to stay together, and then moments later, they're going off in separate directions.
Well, that's a very good question. And I remember when I watched this, they make a big show and, you know, Ahsoka says, well, we need to get going. And then Sabine says together, you know, she really emphasizes that word. So they run off after their enemies and then they pair off, you know, Ahsoka versus Marak and Sabine versus Shen. And then they immediately split apart. And I remember sitting straight up on the couch and I was like, did you all just forget what you said a moment ago? And, you know, it was frustrating at the time because that was one of the big issues we knew was coming in here, was that there is something that's standing in the way of that relationship of master and apprentice that they were unable to get past the first go around. And now it's getting in the way this go around. And the episode starts with Ahsoka basically asking Sabine, it's like, am I going to be able to trust you when it comes down to it? And we got to get that map. And it means to prevent Thrawn from coming back, and we can't stop them otherwise, are you going to be able to destroy this thing? And Sabine tries to deflect the question. And then Ahsoka asks it again. And so, you know, it was very much a necessary plot device in this episode because Ahsoka does not quite get where Sabine is coming from and does not understand the attachment that Sabine has to Ezra and her past, and that's the last key or hold on the past that she has after we find out that she's lost her family and stuff. So it's kind of they don't really know how to work together, and they don't know that they can really trust each other. And Baylan even plays off that some especially when he's talking to Sabine later in the episode.
I think I echo your sentiment of how you reacted to this sequence, because if I recall correctly, I think I might have been standing on the couch saying, what are you doing? He literally said, don't separate, stay together. You work best together, in his opinion. But you probably all of us would agree, you'd be better together. It leads to the other things that happen in this episode, which we'll get to in a few minutes here. But it's kind of what you were saying there. It's just the wedge between them literally is shown here because of what, you know, the plot device, as you mentioned, that they're alluding to here, right? This lack of trust. They've physically put space between them to showcase the mental space, that the empathy walls that they don't have for each other at this point. The conversations that they're not having are showcased in a physical sense in the space and distance between each other, which I thought was a very good job on Filoni's part. But as a fan, yes, the most frustrating thing in the world when you're like, I want you guys to succeed, but you're not. It's just, makes you mad and angry. I just can't, still makes me mad to this day to think about it. Even when I was rewatching, I was rewatching at the gym actually, and I was on the treadmill as a I was able to let my frustrations out in a positive way. So it worked out good for me in the end there. Let's talk a little bit about Merrick. And Ahsoka makes quick work of taking him out, or them out. I'm not sure if we ever got a gender for Merrick. So did you get, since I didn't want listen to the episodes yet for Podcast Stardust, I want to ask about the Merrick hype. And did you happen to get caught up in the Merrick hype? Now that, you know, we know what happens to the character, do you have any speculation as to who or what they are?
Well, it is a he. They did refer to him in the masculine in some of the earlier episodes, so I do know that. But not really got it. I mean, it was neat seeing another Inquisitor in there. I know that this is not the first time that we saw something like what happened to Merrick when Ahsoka slashed him across the chest and he kind of explodes and deflates. Mm-hmm. We saw that at the end of Tales of the Jedi with that episode where she confronted that other Inquisitor and there was something happened there. But you know, it made for fun discussion. Is this Night Sister magic? Is this, you know, some other dark side magic? What is this creature? You know, is it one of these plasmoid type creatures that we've got introduced to in the High Republic and that went bad after it took a lightsaber to the gut or whatever the case may be. I just loved the fight between Ahsoka and Merrick. For as short as it was, it reminded me of Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Darth Maul at the end of season two of Rebels, or three of Rebels. You know, the Twilight of the Apprentice episode, and you know, Obi-Wan, you know, one block, one slash, and they're done. And you know, very much the old samurai motif there, where most of the fighting is done in the few moments before they actually swing at each other. So I thought it was fantastic.
That's a great pull that you shared there. I didn't even think about that. The Tales of the Jedi episode that does have the same end for the Inquisitor character in that, with the little green whatever ooze coming out of the body that it is. Like, yeah, I you know, it's funny how like as soon as a mysterious character comes out in Star Wars, like, well, is it Merrick or is it someone else? Is it Ezra? Is it Snoke? Yeah. Right? Everyone just constantly just starts speculating wildly about it. And I'm like, I think I try my best not even like entertain those discussions, because I was like, it's just Merrick, right? Let's not get too far down the line here. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as I saw that stuff come out of him, and then later on with the Night Sisters, seeing literally them raising up armies of stormtrooper zombie-esque creatures, I thought, maybe there's something there on that one. I think Filoni, again, if we talk about him, where he just puts stuff in there that like makes people ask questions and think through things. Like, is Merrick just one of those characters again where he's like, this will be good for the fans to just think about? this will send him on a wild goose chase for a couple weeks. They'll think through this one, and then we'll showcase him dying in a very interesting way, with just a little hints here of what it could possibly be, and then let them speculate for years on end about it. Yeah, they'll have a good time with that. And I agree with what you say about the lightsaber, especially just this episode too is just riddled with great lightsaber action. But the choreography is so much that samurai style of fighting that Filoni certainly is a big fan of, and it just is reminiscent so much of those Kurosawa samurai films that inspired Lucas to even start this whole thing back in the day too. So great pulls and all that stuff there. So like I said, there are several lightsaber duels in this episode, but eventually, you know, you fast forward several of those. Ahsoka is defeated by Baylan's skull and tossed into the water there. And Sabine is left with a very important choice. She can either give up the map to Peridia and give it back to Baylan, and then potentially have a chance to save Ezra, while at the same time potentially allowing Thrawn's return, or to destroy it and keep another war from happening. So the question here is, what do you make of her choice? And is it fair to pin everything that happens afterwards all on her?
So it's hard to answer this question having seen the rest of the series and not and try to isolate what's going on in this moment. But trying to put myself in her head, we talked about this a bit earlier, giving up Ezra, which is something that she has been looking forward to, hoping for, striving for what, over a decade at this point?
Decade, yeah.
is just such a huge, huge hurdle for her. And you know, this is what Ahsoka was foreshadowing with Sabine, you know, at the beginning of the episode. When it comes down to this moment, are you going to be able to do it? And Sabine wants to believe she can. but she knows she never, deep down, she knew she was never going to be able to do that. And she tried to bluff Balin on this, but Balin, I mean, it was written all over her face. And somehow Balin knew about Ezra and the ability and this opportunity. And you could explain that all kinds of different ways. We don't need to theorycraft on that, but you know, and he basically, you know, calls her out on this. He's like, you should do what your master said, but you know, I'm going to, you basically do what your master did, and that's trust you. And, you know, we can make this alliance and you can get there and you can rescue, you can see your friend. And there was, that was just it, the position she was in. There was no other decision to make for her. It, you know, you could not put her in that decision. And if we're going to blame Sabine, then we also have to heap a healthy dose of that blame on Ahsoka, because she knew this. She confesses to Huyang later that, you know, I shouldn't have put her in this position. She was not ready for this. And well, you knew that. You knew that going in, but you put her in that position anyway. So no, it's not solely on Sabine. I don't think it's entirely fair to blame everything that happens, that follows on her. But even then, well, again, we're going to be getting into future episodes, so I kind of want to limit what I'm saying to here what this is. But yeah, I just don't know, given everything that preceded this, her, you know, driving off Shin, and then showing up here, seeing her master just get thrown over a cliff. So she's had another tragedy in her life, a life filled with loss. You throw that one on top of it, and now you're asking her to give up her only opportunity to see someone that she cherishes. And that's a bit, that's a bridge too far.
That's a really good empathetic look at Sabine at this, especially at this time and juncture of where the episode takes place at. I really like too that you added that note about Ahsoka feeling like, you know, taking some ownership too of the choice that she makes there, because that's something I personally didn't even think about when putting together this episode, the notes for it that I had and all that. And you know, it's interesting too that we talk, you know, I've talked in the last couple of episodes and discussing about Ahsoka maybe not being the best teacher. And I think that's also another aspect of maybe that her being a failure on that front is, you know, not putting her in a place to succeed, right? Not knowing that she wasn't ready yet for that big of a test. You know, in the sports world, you hear coaches after a big loss all the time being like, I got to put my players in a better position in order to win. And this is almost like the Star Wars example of that coming into fruition, where there Ahsoka's now at a post-game interview with Huyang being like, I should have never put her in a position where she had to make such a choice like that, where again, you are tackling some of the big complex emotions of Ezra tasked me with this. If he, who knows where he's at out there in another galaxy, evidently. And who knows what, you know, with Thrawn, if he's even surviving out there, is he barely scraping by? You know, she doesn't know anything that we know later on that eventually is the case. And, you know, I think too, with making the decision to give them, it offers the chance that maybe they could also stop Thrawn there too. It's no guarantee that he automatically comes back afterwards too. So, you know, I think in my head, immediately after watching this episode, I thought about Star-Lord in Avengers Infinity War, where he, you know, I think he's given very much so all of the blame in letting Thanos succeed, Craig, because they're right there, able, almost inches away from taking off the Infinity Gauntlet and not letting him run rampant and snapping his fingers and, you know, tearing away half the universe. So, you know, that one is a bit more heavily handed on blaming one person for the events that happen afterwards. But this one has a lot more nuance to it that I'm glad that you brought to the table here. So thank you for that.
Of course.
And then this episode concludes, and this is my last question too. So let's spend some time on this one a bit here. This one concludes with a familiar face and voice reappearing, and it is none other than the return of Anakin Skywalker. Dennis, how did you react when you first saw this cliffhanger, and where did you think the episode or the next episode would go from there?
Okay, so I try to steer clear of rumors and things when it comes to these shows and Star Wars movies and everything coming out, because I want to experience them in the way that the directors, the creators, the producers intended for us to see them. And so this was very much intended to be a surprise at the end of the episode, a, you know, not so much cliffhanger, but hey, tune in next week and find out what this mm-hmm. is about. That being said, I can't remember where I came across the information that Hayden Christensen was coming back and he was going to be in Ahsoka. And, you know, what can you do? It just, you know, shows up somehow on your Twitter feed or X feed or whatever it's called anymore. And mm-hmm. and so you just kind of put that away. That being said, I was like, oh, we're going to get another Kenobi flashback. That was what I was expecting mm-hmm. to see out of Anakin Skywalker in this series, because that's what they just did. I did not expect that to be in a World Between Worlds setting. And I did not expect for it to happen this way at all. And so when that happened, I just remember smiling really, really big. And, you know, that was such a great reveal with, you know, we get the overhead view of the cliff and the hinge where they were figuring out the coordinates to get to Peridia. And then it goes into the water. We see the waves and all of a sudden they're lapping up against Ahsoka's arm. And then it turns into the starfield. Very beautiful, incredibly artistically done. You know, she stands up. We hear those echoes of Anakin's voice before it gets clear, and he's calling her Snips. And so, you know, that was a nice touch. It hits you right in the heartstrings with that one. So that was fantastic, a fantastic reveal. I don't know what it is, though, about the appearance of Hayden on that one, that, and it's completely different from the way it is in the next episode, but it looks kind of plasticky. And so I thought they had done a lot of digital de-aging and reconstructing of his face the first time I saw that. And I remember being critical of that you made him look fine when we saw him as Anakin in Kenobi. So what's going on here? But of course it ended up not being an issue by the time I got to the next episode. So I thought that was a fantastic reveal. I was very floored that we were going back to the World Between Worlds, or at least at the time what appeared to be World Between Worlds setting. And it was kind of a jaw-dropping moment, even knowing that he was going to appear in this series at some point.
Yeah, I think there was maybe like a TV spot or something like that too, that had some voiceover that would eventually be used in a later episode with the training sequence too, that like definitely spoiled potentially the return of Anakin in more ways than one. And that poor Hayden Christensen for those months leading up to this was just assaulted with questions about Ahsoka every time he was like at Disneyland or something like that, trying to ride a ride with his kids or at a con or something like that. He's getting you in Ahsoka? Are you in Ahsoka? How's that Ahsoka thing going? I think he just at a certain point just stopped answering and just started shrugging in regards to his involvement in the series. I think I had the same response that you did too. And at first seeing the face, right, I was like, did it look like they like almost took like some like sandpaper, you know, like tried to buff out his face a little bit, looked too shiny and sleek and all that stuff. I was like, that doesn't look like a real face to me, but they certainly fixed that in the subsequent episode. I mean, episode 5, preceding this one, or, you know, following this one, is, I think they did very little, if any, de-aging to him. It looked like at all, maybe just makeup and all that stuff. I mean, that looked like Hayden literally walked right out of the set of Revenge of the Sith and walked right onto the set of Ahsoka, and, you know, from 2005 all the way up to 2022, whenever they filmed this. And, you know, just that line, hey, Snips, or hello, Snips, all that. And just seeing the response on Rosario's face, too, to portray that first time we see these two characters looking at each other in live action. I think, you know, there should be a lot of credit given to her as well for playing that off so well, to be like, wow, like, this is my master again. Also my master as I saw him before, not potentially 40 plus year old Anakin that, you know, that Luke sees at the end of Return of the Jedi. It's all burned up. So like, you know, it was a magical moment. I think for me, especially being a person that loved the prequels, and just it's wonderful being in this Hayden Renaissance that we live in right now. The prequels are being ignited with so much fervor and enjoyment that they probably have never gotten before in their existence. You and I were at the Attack of the Clones panel where Hayden came out and was given a standing ovation. We loved the Kenobi series and the fact that, you know, he was involved with that to a large degree, and he's going to all these cons, and, you know, that pre-2017, hey, you couldn't even sniff Hayden Christensen going to one of those fan conventions, right? And now the character and the actor is getting such a renaissance and love that they have never had before, which is just so, so amazing. And of course, it leads to the next episode, which is just mind-blowing, bonkers, incredible, with everything between flashback sequences, Clone Wars, Rex, Siege of Mandalore, Anakin training, a little bit of Vader sequences, whales flying off into space, Chopper and Hera. Like, it's just amazing. But I think without this setup episode, like we talked about in this, you don't get the payoff of all of that. Without every one of these episodes leading up to this, you don't get the big explosion of emotion that you get with this episode, or even episode 6 and 7, right, where you get the Thrawn of it all, and all that comes into play here. So it's just a fantastic time to be a Star Wars fan, especially for people like us that have followed just about everything, right? You're reading books, you're reading comic books, you're watching this the series, you know, you're watching the animated stuff. It's not just a Saturday morning cartoon. You're dissecting it, you're looking for the themes and having these great discussions. So it's a great way to, it's like the perfect cliffhanger. Like, I was like, how do I just wait another week? How do I wait another week to experience what is coming up next? I mean, talk about the greatest trailer ever in a way. Like, if I wasn't already glued to my seat 5 minutes before, I was glued to my seat 10 minutes before now, just refreshing Disney Plus to see if it would perhaps come out a little bit early and all that. So it's just a great episode. Dennis, do you have any other concluding thoughts on episode 4 of Ahsoka, Fallen Jedi?
Just a couple things. I actually, now while you were talking about it, I remember when Rosario spilled the beans that Hayden was going to be on the show. And I remember our mutual friend, I was talking to Colleen Eade, and pointed out that she's kind of the Tom Holland of the Star Wars universe, and that she can't keep a secret to save her life. But it was on social media. She says, you know, see you soon, you know, in reference to something with Hayden, and that got taken down. But yeah, you know, this was fantastic. I remember right after this, they had that fan event for episode 5, where they were showing it in select theaters. And there was one here in Dallas. And after this, I was frantically trying to get tickets, but couldn't, which is okay. It's still fun to watch it with family here at the house. And, you know, beyond that, you know, just seeing World Between Worlds again, that was not something I expected to show up in another Star Wars property ever, because it was something that I think had so much careful control placed around it. And so to see that, and they haven't confirmed precisely that that's what that was, but I don't feel like there's a whole lot of room for doubt in my mind. At any rate, it was something. I mean, that was one of those episodes where, you know, this one and the next one afterwards, just like, wow, the possibilities are endless after this. Where are we going with this? And, you know, Dave is so coy when he talks about all these things, and he left us with that gift of this episode and the next one, just some incredible Star Wars storytelling that really did some fantastic things.
Couldn't agree more. And now that Dave's at the helm of Lucasfilm, let's see where the gates go, where the avenues of different directions of projects can possibly go, what new characters and existing characters can be infused into existing stories and stories to come. I think this is just a very exciting time to be a Star Wars fan. And of course, we're going to be here to discuss it on Force Ghost Conversations, but I can almost guarantee you Podcast Artists will certainly be there to talk about it as well. So Dennis, where can the fine folks find you online, and where can they listen to Podcast Artists at?
Oh, okay. Thanks, Anthony. And thanks again for having me with this. It's always so much fun to get to go on other people's podcasts and talk about Star Wars a little bit. And getting the invitation to do this has been the highlight of the day, highlight of the week for me. Been looking forward to it. Like I said, just got an opportunity to binge these episodes and then come talk to you about it. You know, I had a great time when you were on my show earlier this year talking about Return of the Jedi. And so yeah, Podcast Starness is available on all your podcatchers. We come out on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, usually doing episodes covering some sort of review, some sort of a discussion, and then news at the end of the week. And you can find us on all the social media, all social media for now, at Podcast Artists, Facebook, Instagram, and X. And come and hear what we have to say. It's you'll find people like Anthony here all the time, and we love putting it out.
Absolutely. And I'll give a plug for myself first. Podcast Artist is probably one of the only podcasts that talk all things Star Wars, comics, books, the TV shows, movies, all that stuff, and deep dive discussions. Like, I want to do a big plug here for like the Return of the Jedi series that you all have done recently. They're like all what is it, up to 9 parts now, if I'm mistaken, where you get taking a chunk of the film, like 10 to 15 minutes, and just doing a really great deep dive of that. Like, that's the stuff that is just so awesome. And you know, I just want to applaud you for that great work. So certainly go check out Podcast Stardust on the podcatchers that you find podcasts. And of course, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode in the Force Ghost Conversations realm. And you can assume it'll be all about Ahsoka Episode 5. And we have a brand new guest, well, not a brand new guest, but a returning guest coming on the show, Ross Holubin, who actually got to see it in the theater when it did mm-hmm. come out, as Dennis alluded to. So we'll be very excited to hear about his experience and to chat through that episode in full detail. So until then, may the Force be with you. Take care.